Good morning and or good evening, whichever your pleasure is, and welcome to the first of maybe 2 to 3 lectures on the historical period from 1865 to 1877, known as Reconstruction. When we think about Reconstruction, we have to first think about what the word means. To reconstruct something means to rebuild, and what ultimately needed to be rebuilt at the conclusion of the Civil War was the country itself, but particularly the areas that had been broken and decimated and destroyed by the fires and the cannon and the bullets of the war itself. What was the legacy of the Civil War? One of the legacies ultimately is that the Union had been preserved, that the Southern Secession Confederate movement had been put down. So the power of the federal government was retained as supreme. We're going to see that there was some extension of federal powers, like, for example, the passage of the Homestead Act in 1862, or the Pacific Railway Act that will later transform the West. What had the government done during the Civil War? It had suspended things like the writ of habeas corpus. It had drafted men into service. So not all the legacies of the war were positive. There were some economic changes during the war. Growth of war-related industries. The Union economy had just really, really exploded as a result of the war. Factories had boomed. Railroad material had boomed. In contrast, the Southern economy was destroyed. Some changes during war. There were new rifles. The rifled musket is going to come of age. The Gatling gun will come of age. The submarine with the H.L. Hunley. And then, of course, the ironclad ships, the two most famous being the Monitor and the Merrimack, who will fight a famous battle off of Virginia coast. How did the war change the country? You have the 13th Amendment being passed, which banned slavery. Soldiers are returning to their homes. You have people who decide they don't want to go home, and they'll go west to find their fortune in the gold rush of 1848. Or if their name was Tomberlin, and Tomberlin was not a great word, if it meant a failed business or a failed family, a lot of people just picked up and moved west. The West becomes the safety valve. During the Reconstruction period, we'll hear of people called exodusters. These are people who mainly freed African Americans as a result of the 13th Amendment who will make the decision to move west. And then, of course, we can't talk about the end of the Civil War and Reconstruction without mentioning the assassination of President Lincoln and how it transformed the country. There had never been an assassination of a president ever before in American history. And so now the only Southern Democrat to stay with the Republican government during the Civil War, a Democrat from Tennessee by the name of Andrew Johnson, the Vice President of the United States in 1864, will become the President of the United States. One key fact, Andrew Johnson does not have the ability to pick his cabinet. He is essentially working with Mr. Lincoln's cabinet. And many of those Republicans, and many Republicans in Congress, will not be supportive of the fact that there is now a Southern Democrat, a former slave owner, in the Oval Office, even though the Oval Office isn't constructed yet, but in the White House would be a better way to say it. So what needed to be rebuilt by 1865? Well, those Southern states that had seceded need to be rebuilt into the Union so the Union could be preserved. So the political nature of Reconstruction is going to be very important. The physical nature of Reconstruction, what to do with, you know, the question of what to do with 4 million freed slaves is going to be paramount as a result of the 13th Amendment. How are these people who have predominantly been slaves and farmhands going to receive an education and welfare and a job? And as African Americans would have said, many of them to themselves, how are we going to get bottom rung on top, meaning how are we going to climb that social and economic ladder? At the same time, a good bit of that discussion was going to be what is freedom and how is freedom to be defined for all peoples, but especially for the 4 million freed slaves. Remember, Lincoln at Gettysburg had talked about a new birth of freedom, and that's really a big question during Reconstruction. So there's the political aspect, there's the economic aspect, and the freedom aspect, and then, of course, there's the social aspect. What's the nation going to look like where there largely is no slavery? Remember, the 13th Amendment had abolished slavery, had abolished servitude in the case of criminal punishment, and that's going to be real, real important as we move on into the future. Again, Lincoln's plan was to preserve the Union. He had a 10% plan, and basically what he said was in his planning by 1863 was, as the war is over and the Union is reconstructed, if 10% of Southerners in a state pledge themselves back into the Union, then that state will be reconstructed. Of course, that changes by the time of the assassination, and a strong crop of so-called radical Republicans will want not to preserve the Union necessarily, but to punish the South for the evils of slavery. The radical Republicans already before Lincoln's assassination had put a bill together called the Wade-Davis Bill. And the Wade-Davis Bill was going to largely do what they wanted to do to punish the South, to punish Southerners for slavery, punish slave owners. And, of course, Lincoln pretty much vetoed the measure by letting it die out on his desk and not signing it. So already before Lincoln's assassination, there's a strong division in the Republican Party about what is going to constitute the proper way to preserve the Union. Two of the biggest radical Republicans were a Mr. Thaddeus Stevens and a Charles Sumner. We can understand in large part why Charles Sumner would want to be a radical Republican. He had been beaten by South Carolinian congressperson Preston Brooks in 1856 on the floor of Congress after Sumner likened the institution of slavery to the worst crime imaginable, the rape of a young innocent woman. And Preston Brooks seethingly gets up from his desk, walks over to Sumner's desk, and beats him with his cane, which had a metal tip on it. Sumner, for the rest of his life, will have PTSD. Oftentimes goes to his attempts to go, and does go to his favorite city, Paris, France, to try to recover from the savagery. But he continues to have PTSD, what we understand as post-traumatic stress disorder, for the rest of his life. So we can understand why Thaddeus Stevens wants to punish the South for the evils of slavery, and also wants to give freed blacks a leg up, a new opportunity at freedom. Again, Thaddeus Stevens was the other radical Republican, and these will be folks who will, along with the other Republicans, be out for Andrew Johnson as Reconstruction begins. One of the things that Southern politicians did across the time of Reconstruction and after was put in place so-called black codes as their governments begin to get back together. Black codes banned African Americans for taking certain jobs and obtaining certain government positions. So at the same time that African Americans are really trying to work for bottom rung on top, a lot of white Southern politicians and others were trying to work to make sure that the status quo is maintained, that everybody, quote, stayed in their place. And that's going to make Reconstruction a very interesting and troubled time. One of the things that begins to occur politically is that Congress will pass the Civil Rights Act in 1866, just a year after the 13th Amendment, and they'll pass it over Johnson's veto. It's one of the first times, if not the first time, that Congress will pass a bill over a presidential veto. Also, Congress bypasses Johnson to make sure that the 14th Amendment goes into effect. And the 14th Amendment is going to give each citizen equal protection under the law. And then the following year, 1867, you will have the passage of the Reconstruction Act of 1867, which makes it possible to divide the South into five military districts. Now there will be so-called damn Yankees, if you're a Southerner, in your area enforcing the Reconstruction Acts. And these acts were designed to protect former slaves and also to help ensure the 13th and 14th Amendment. In these new Southern governments, which were largely Republican, you had Southern supporters of those governments that wanted just the business of the country to go on, the business of the state to go on, and they tended to support Republicans, and these were folks called the scallywags. And then you had a lot of Northerners coming down, and these folks were not only supporting Reconstruction, but also hoping to make money off Reconstruction, and those were folks that were called carpetbaggers. But back to politics for a minute. These radical Republicans in the federal government wanted to make sure that Johnson kind of stayed in his place as president. By this time, Johnson was pardoning Southern generals and Southern officials, and also there had been some tenuous play, I guess, between the radical Republicans and Johnson. They resented one another, and so Congress will pass something called the Tenure of Office Act. The Tenure of Office Act basically said to the president, from Congress, that the president cannot fire anybody unless he ran it through Congress first. I mean, this was a clear violation of checks and balances, but this was going to be a test in the radical Republicans' mind of Johnson's power, Johnson's administration. Of course, Andrew Johnson didn't get where he was as President of the United States from being a pushover, so he challenges the Tenure of Office Act by firing Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. And immediately, there's a call for the impeachment of Andrew Johnson. And remember, a president can only be impeached if whatever action occurs is deemed a high crime and misdemeanor. So, through the process of the trial, remember that in an impeachment, the House brings the case, and the Senate does the trial. And basically, Andrew Johnson was allowed to stay by one vote. But this was a big deal. The impeachment trial itself was considered likened to the Super Bowl. Tickets are scalped. If you were a very famous lady in Washington, D.C., you wanted to be seen with some gentleman that could hopefully get you in to the trial. So, a good example of how political reconstruction is not an easy thing. Military reconstruction will last for about 10 years, and it'll be one of the things that Southerners will want to get rid of by the close of 1877. Thank you, and have a good day.